Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, do you speak English, sir? Parlo usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes. Beautiful day out, by the way.
Yeah, it really is.
Holy cow, super nice.
It was so cold. I mean, with that polar vortex.
Yeah,
it was cold last week. For a few days.
It was actually pretty nice out at the moment. So yesterday's impossible question of the day, 14% of people who work from home have their workstation or their computer set up here. The answer was, and Charlie and I totally missed it, on the floor, Charlie. Have their office on the floor, I guess. Charlie said bathroom.
You know, in one way, it makes a little bit of sense just because, well, what I mean is this, because you generally have a lot of the surfaces in your home already accounted for.
Right.
You either have stuff on them or it's the kitchen where you use them constantly.
Correct.
And so they use the floor.
It's the last place. That's right. Today's impossible question. Answer this on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. 11% of people have done this while exercising. We have Jordan Goodman with us also this first hour, America's Money Answer Man. Jordan, we'll start with you. 11% of people have done this while exercising. Thoughts? Jordan, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
There we go.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. There we go. That's better.
I would say eating.
Ooh. Eating while, you know what? Not a bad answer. Andy, you're an exercise guy.
Quit.
That's good, too.
You're not exercising anymore if you quit.
Yeah, you just quit. Keep in mind, this is a low number. 11% have done this. I mean, you see people doing all sorts of things. Texting, talking on the phone, watching movies, reading books. I honestly, guys, I don't have a solid answer.
What about something up Jordan's alley, investing?
Ooh,
investing while exercising?
Yeah, they're, you know, I've seen guys where they're looking at the ticker and things like that, Jordan. So that's
are they actually placing trades while they're on the
treadmill or something?
11%. I thought.
Yeah,
I'd
it's
take
a low
shot.
Number. I mean, in some cases they could be doing business. Might be another. Maybe that's a better general statement. Anyways, answer this on the KLZ 560 Facebook page. Myself, Charlie, Andy, and of course now Jordan Goodman joining us, America's Money Answer Man. Jordan, lots of things going on this week in the world.
Oh yeah.
Just a few, by the way. And by the way, I know that your mom wasn't feeling well, so sorry to hear that. That's why you weren't with us last week. So I just want to make sure everybody understood that we had a little snafu last week. No big deal. Jordan will be with us the rest of the year, each week or each month, I should
say. Well, you learned something. I mean, she died at 95, and I had to be there, and I was there, and I'm glad I was.
And you need to be.
At a certain point, things just kind of give out. And, a lot of people don't make it to 95, so she was a great woman, and it was good to be there for it.
No, good for you, and sorry to hear that, but I understand also at 95, we were talking about this the other day. You know, Jordan, when you get to that age, do you really even care what you eat anymore, or do you just go all out and eat whatever you want to eat? In other words, if you want dessert for every meal, do you just do whatever you want?
She had no appetite at the end. She just lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Everything just kind of falls apart. And one moment she's there, and one moment she's not.
That's a statement too. And that we've got sponsors here, as you know. You know, we talk about estate planning and wills and so on. And the reality, Jordan, is that's typically how it is. I mean, everybody does pretty well, and all of a sudden, within in some cases a matter of weeks or a month or so, and boy, it's a completely different picture.
Yeah, and so the main thing is to keep them comfortable. So she took morphine and. Was comfortable. It was interesting because when the morphine would wear off, she would get all agitated and she'd want to get out of bed and run around or whatever, and then they'd give it to her and she'd calm down again. It has a kind of a calming effect is what happened. It was not an injection. It was a droplets in the
got
mouth.
It. Got it.
Anyway, we don't need to go into
sorry to hear that, but you know what? That's part of what happens. That's part of life, and that's how things work.
Here we are. 400,000 people or thereabouts have died from COVID, and not all of them pleasantly. You know, this is more than, you know, all of our wars combined except the Civil War. I think the Civil War is like 600,000, but at the pace we're going, we'll add another 100,000 the next month or so. It's just 4,000 a day, roughly. It's just crazy.
And, you know, we don't want anybody to do that. You know, it doesn't matter what the situation is. And again, our hearts and thoughts and prayers go out to those that are affected by, you know, again, whether it's COVID or anything else for that matter. You know, dealing with, you know, my brother I know in Texas, and some of you may know, but, you know, cancer and situations and things like that. So, yeah, Jordan, there's all sorts of things that we deal with on a regular basis. So, but let's go back to what we need to do financially speaking, because, again, that topic dovetails into what we're talking about now. We want to make sure that, you know, we have enough, you know, to carry us to the end if possible. And really, and I think it's very... not only biblical, but I just think it's the right thing to do. We need to make sure we leave some behind for, you know, kids, grandkids, whatever the case may be. But we can't do that unless we understand how to do that along the way.
So in her case, for example, I mean, she was actually an excellent investor. That's where I kind of learned everything about investing is from her. She had all these financial advisors, and then she fired them all and ended up doing it on her own much better than they did. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was really quite interesting. So she had a very good nose for stocks and holding long term and doing. And at the end, it was 24-hour care at whatever, $30 an hour. And it really adds up.
Yes, it does.
And so, you know, she had the wherewithal to do that. But that's kind of what you need. Last 8 months or so, 24-hour care really adds up. So you need the money to be able to, you know, do that. And it could have lasted a lot longer on top of the drugs and the hospital visits and the whole thing. I mean, it's just medical stuff just takes over. I think people living in the last year of life use about as much health care, medical care, as the rest of their life combined, something like that. That last year of life really is very, very expensive medically.
Boy, it sure is. And again, and it's okay, question for you. Are there any figures out there that say how much you should have on a, you know, for a particular situation like that? Or does it vary?
Well, it varies. I mean, she was in Rhode Island where I grew up. My father was a professor at Brown, so I grew up in Rhode Island. And I mean, she was spending $1,300 a week, something like that, in, you know, 24-hour care on top of the drugs and just everything that goes along with it. Mm. So, you know... You have to do it. I couldn't be there 24. I couldn't be there 3 hours.
Right.
You know? And typically the children are spread all over the country. They're not going to be there for 24 hours. You need to. I helped her find people over care.com. I mean, it's a whole process that you have to do. And to get people that are that devoted is not easy, particularly getting overnight. Is quite a process to get people who are willing to do that.
Well said. And again, for those of you listening, that's another area that Jordan can help you with. If you're in that end of things and you need some help along those lines, go to the website. Jordan, where do you go, or where do folks go to find more about all of that and all of the other money things we'll talk about today?
MoneyAnswers.com is my website. I've got a whole area on trusts and wills. You can do these things cheaply online and legal forms. You want to do so-called do not resuscitate DNR orders. You need a healthcare proxy. You want to make sure all the legal papers are in line. I mean, we had all these things, but you don't do this as they're losing consciousness.
Right,
okay?
Right. It has to be done on the front side. Before. Yes, well said. All right, so we got a couple minutes before we take our next break. Tomorrow's Inauguration Day. Some things will definitely start to change moving forward, you know, good, bad, otherwise. I mean, it's just going to be change that's coming down the pike.
Dramatically.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. And one of those things is, of course, the stimulus plan, which, you know, is liable to add, I would venture to guess, Jordan, by the time we're done, you know, initial comments from Biden were, you know, a couple of trillion, but that I think is just the beginning. I think you could see as much as $3-4 trillion when it's all said and done. Your thoughts?
At least that. And that's, I mean, the $1.9 trillion that he proposed does not include, for example, infrastructure, which is a whole another trillion or more. Now, today, soon-to-be Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen was basically saying, we don't care about the debt. We're just going to spend no matter what.
I saw that, which I wanted to get your thoughts on that as well.
And that's why the stock market went up today. The stock market wants a large stimulus program. They don't care about the debt. They just want that money flowing through to get the economy moving. I mean, we are in worse shape economically right now than when Biden came in with Obama in 2009. And that was very bad in the amount of unemployment – amount of people dying, a lot of people not being able to pay their rent and foreclosed upon. I mean, that was a deep hole, but this is a deeper hole we're in right now.
Why? Okay, question, and I know we've talked about this some in the past, but just to bring everybody up to speed, why does Wall Street, or in this case, Yellen, not care about the debt? I mean, I care about it. Why don't they?
Well, it's a matter of priorities. I mean, the analogy to use is World War II. And either we do everything it takes to beat the Germans and the Japanese, or we end up speaking German and Japanese, basically. Mm-hmm. It's like that is the priority, and everything else is thrown out. The government budget is thrown out. You just convert the entire economy to a war economy. You throw all your soldiers into it. It's just like that's the only priority, basically. And the budget deficit exploded. The amount of debt exploded, in World War II. And this is a similar kind of situation. The war is against the virus. It's not against fascism. It's against the virus. And it's global, and it's getting worse. I mean, if I told you that some force came into the United States and killed 400,000 people in a year and was continuing to kill more people all the time, you say, wow, that's really, really bad. We've got to do something about that and mobilize completely against whatever that force may be. And we have not mobilized enough. I mean, we've got a vaccine. I think it's, 12 million have gotten it now. At this pace, it'll take 7 years to get everybody vaccinated. That's not going to work. So we got to step that up dramatically.
Yeah, but we're not going to vaccinate everybody anyway. So that's a different,
But whatever, if we get to 70 or 80% herd immunity, but we got to vaccinate a lot faster than we're doing now. So a lot of the money goes for that. Cities and states have been hurt extremely badly by this, by lost tax revenue.
Yeah, and that's a conversation I want to talk to you when we get back, because that one, just as a taxpayer myself, you know what, Jordan, I'm not feeling sorry for a lot of these places. A lot of them could have been opened up and done things differently. Even Colorado, for example. I can give you examples after example in Colorado where we've shut things down unnecessarily, and I'll just be straight up honest. Our numbers do not support the shutdowns that we're even in right now. Why do I, as a taxpayer, even a Colorado taxpayer, have to shore up the economy that that our government is responsible for?
Well, the priority was getting the virus under control. Places that opened up had worse virus. Look like California is totally out of control right now, just totally out of control. So that has a big economic impact.
But then you go to Florida and look at how they've done, and they've done well.
They've done relatively better. That's correct.
So why can't we use that model in other places and not go into debt like we are?
We're going to go into debt.
Yeah, we're going to anyway. You're right. That is, regardless, we're going there anyway. It's true. Good statement.
Yeah.
It didn't make any difference what I said.
You may not like it. I'm just telling you what the money's going to be used
for. No, you're right.
For,
I mean, okay? I don't care for it, but yes, that's right.
The PPP program to help small businesses. We've lost millions of small businesses, restaurants, hardware stores, all kinds of things. The PPP program to keep some of those going. Expanding unemployment benefits, which a lot of people are desperate. They don't have enough just to survive, basically. I think they're talking about a $1,400 check to all Americans. That alone is going to cost about $500 billion.
Right.
So those are some of the main elements of the $1.9 trillion. But you're right. There's going to be much more than that. And basically, Janet Yellen, they call her the Queen of the Doves, right? And when she was running the Fed Reserve, mm-hmm. after let the money flow, and now she's going to do the same thing as Treasury Secretary.
All right, we'll come back, talk more about that. Don't go anywhere. Extreme Auto Repair is coming up next. And folks, you need to make sure your vehicle's in top working order. That is just one of those things where it is a huge expense if you don't. So maintain it, keep it up as you need to, and you'll save money in the long haul. And don't forget, you can buy Cooper tires at cost at the same time. Find them at klzradio.com or 303-841-1071.
The most frustrating part of getting your vehicle repaired is not knowing what they're charging you for. The team at Extreme Auto Repair has nothing to hide. Sean, Mike, Dave, and the whole team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker want you to understand what's going on with your vehicle so you know how to prioritize your spending. They'll always be transparent because you're the one spending money. You need to know what's wrong so you can focus on the most important repairs first. Just ask, and they'll be more than happy to take you back to the service bay, open up the hood to show you what's going on, or hand you the part that's not functioning. Their philosophy is, why hide it? You might not know what to look for on your own, and the bill makes a lot more sense when you can actually see the part. Plus, you'll feel better knowing that they're not charging you for services you don't need. Take a look together. Schedule a repair now at klzradio.com/extreme. Promise is kept.
Hey, you may be sitting on a pile of equity, cash, if you would, that you want to tap into and use. And one of the best ways to do that, if you're 62 years of age or older, maybe a reverse mortgage. Talk to Bruce Simmons. He'll talk to you about that and explain all of the ins and outs of it and if it's a right decision for you. Go to klzradio.com or call Bruce directly, 303-467-7821.
Owning a relatively high-value home does not make you immune to cash flow problems. It's more expensive to maintain and insure. Property taxes seem to go up every year. And of course, you may have a sizable mortgage payment to make every month. You don't want to sell, but you wish you had a little more margin in your budget. As long as you continue to pay your taxes and insurance, a reverse mortgage with KLZ's Bruce Simmons could give you the financial cushion you need. Thanks to recent changes by the Federal Housing Administration, you may be able to eliminate your monthly mortgage payment, setting you up comfortably for as long as you live in the home. Starting in January of 2021, homeowners 62 years and older with higher value homes may tap into a larger portion of their equity, giving them a better chance of qualifying for the loan. Get in touch with Colorado's first certified reverse mortgage specialist now at klzradio.com/reverse.
God, country, reason. Now back to John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answer Man. Okay, Jordan, no sense in talking through the semantics as to, you know, why we are where we are and what's going to happen next. The reality is the debt's coming. There's going to be tons of money injected into, right, into the United States of America's economy. Whether you like it or not, that's what's coming. How do we, as, you know, average Americans, respond to that, and what's in this for us?
Very good for the stock market, and that you've seen that. The stock market's been going up sharply on anticipation of the stimulus that's coming. It's both fiscal and monetary. I mean, the Federal Reserve continues, right, to pour out trillions of dollars. So we got both feet on both accelerators at the same time here. We have not had a fiscal stimulus since March and April, basically, when the CARES Act was passed. And then, since then, well, there was a little one at the end of December, $900 billion. That kind of gets us to the beginning of March, basically. So, it's going to be that, but then we're going to have infrastructure stimulus. We're going to have green energy and various kinds of things. Everything that Trump did, Biden's going to reverse, basically, in every department. Mm-hmm. We can go through all of them.
Yep.
Labor, he wants to raise the minimum wage to $15 and allow unions to negotiate, you know, to unionize much more. Environmental, we're going to have climate change. John Kerry is going to be in there in all the meetings, and that's going to be a core thing. And that costs money to,
yes,
do things for climate change.
Yes.
And to some extent, it raises prices. For example, they're going to do less oil drilling in various ways. And Biden says he's going to cancel the Keystone pipeline, for,
right,
example, which brings oil in from Canada. So that could be less supply of oil, or at least less American supply, which is going to make us more dependent on foreign sources, which could raise prices for oil. Oil's already up over $50 a barrel.
Right.
It had been, you know, 20s and 30s. And so things like that could cost you more. When you make it more difficult to drill, you're going to get less drilling.
Correct.
And it's going to mean, you know, higher prices and fewer jobs. I mean, it's a major job creator is the oil and gas industry, including in Colorado as well. And we could go through a series of different areas, but everything is going to be completely opposite of the way it's been the last 4 years.
So when do you anticipate, because you know it's coming, inflation cannot not come down the pike. When do you think we
eventually
start to see it?
Yeah, but the Federal Reserve is basically saying, we don't worry about inflation right now. And this is, they've been wanting 2% inflation.
Right.
We haven't really had it officially.
Right.
But they're willing to tolerate much higher inflation. And I think it could happen eventually. Now, you're seeing that in certain things. Gold has done well. And most remarkably, Bitcoin has done incredibly well. Bitcoin, mm-hmm, today is about 37,000. It started 2020 at 3,000. So it's gone up over 10 times or something like that. I mean, it's just been staggering. That is the market telling you they see inflation coming and that the currency is being devalued,
right,
by all this money being printed and borrowed. The fiscal side is borrowing it, the monetary side is printing it. And so one of the driving forces behind Bitcoin, I call it the new gold, is inflation that's still to come. So that's one sign we see. We don't see it in prices yet because there's still so much less demand.
Agreed.
There's so much less demand for oil. Agreed. And people living at home. They're not traveling. They're not having restaurants. They're not going on airplanes. There's just a lot less demand with the economy shut down right now. But I think you'll see the inflation, if a lot of people get vaccinated and start going out and doing things again, that's when you'll start to see the inflation, which could be this year. I mean, hopefully we're going to get vaccinated quickly and get back to a more normal economy. That's when they'll see a lot more demand come back.
And are you thinking 2%, 5%, 3%? What's your thought there? I mean, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but what are your thoughts?
3%, something like that, which the Federal Reserve would tolerate.
I think you and I are in agreement on that. That's what I think as well.
Yep.
Others don't think there's going to be that, but I would bet by the end of the year we'll have 2.5%, 3%.
I mean, there's a lot of deflationary forces right now.
True.
When you have less economic activity and people aren't traveling and they're not doing all the things they normally would be doing, that's a deflationary impact. Unemployment, that we have a huge amount of unemployment. Businesses closing. These are all deflationary impacts. So you're offsetting that deflation with all this printed money. But in the long run, we will definitely have more inflation because of... you have to get the economy moving again. You have to, what economists call money velocity, which is money turning over. Right now, you have very low velocity because people aren't spending anything.
Right. No, it's a lot of it on the sidelines right now.
Yeah, but when you get velocity moving with more demand, that's when you start getting, inflation.
Okay. So when it comes to the person listening and they're looking at, you know, maybe they do a little bit of day trading or they've got some investments or, you know, even an IRA and things like that, but they can change those funds around. What's your suggestions to them?
Well, I think you want to invest in things that are going to benefit from an economic turnaround. It could be like a spring. It could be a very dramatic comeback. So cyclical companies, and they're already doing well, you know, a Caterpillar or a Deere, something like that. Mm-hmm. The railroads have done really well. Union Pacific. Those kind of companies. Federal Express is going to carry a lot of packages.
True.
I still think, though, even once we get back to somewhat normal, if that's going to happen, the stay-at-home economy is going to remain to a large extent. So that you're still going to do well with Zoom. Today, Netflix came out with much stronger than expected earnings. The stock's up about $60 a share. So, you know, Netflix is not going away. Facebook, Google, all the companies that have benefited from the stay-at-home economy are going to continue to benefit.
Okay. What about housing and that end of things? Where do you see all of that going?
Dramatic move out of the cities into the suburbs.
Still?
Still.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, people are moving out of the cities. COVID is one reason, but the other two reasons are what I call taxes and terrorism, basically.
Right.
When you have higher taxes, people move. And when you have crime... people move. So those are the reasons. I mean, where I am in New York, I'm in Westchester, in the suburbs north of New York City. Booming. Just booming. I mean, houses stay on the market for minutes. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy.
Same way here right now.
But New York City is depressed. It's empty.
So what would you say to some of those that are out? Because I hear from some of these folks occasionally. There's some realtors and, you know, some of the folks that are in the real estate world, you know, talking about, you know, well, there's a bubble and the bubble's coming and on and on. And, you know, Jordan, I don't see that coming because there's still a lack of supply for the demand that's there.
Demographics. Look at demographics. I'll tell you the way to predict the housing market, okay? How many babies were born 30 to 33 years ago? And in 1990 to 1993 was a record amount of babies born. Those are the first-time homebuyers who are now coming into maturity and buying homes and starting families. That's a huge cohort, something like 6 million people, I think, or something like that. And there's far, far fewer houses being built for all kinds of reasons. It's hard to get materials. It's hard to get labor to build
homes. Yeah, I mean, we talk about all these people out of work, but the reality is, you know, and we can't fix this overnight, Jordan, but the reality is we didn't put people into the right areas of the economy, the trades, for example, to where we can even get houses built. We don't have plumbers, electricians, framers, roofers, landscapers, on down the line we go.
Right. So you have – that's a big kind of limiting factor. Land, in many cases, not fully available. Regulations of all types. So, yeah, there's a massive disconnect. Too much demand and not enough supply in the suburbs. Now, in the cities, it's
different.
The opposite.
Right. Different
in the
story.
Cities, you've got too much supply and not enough demand. You know, in New York City, they built all these huge towers, you know, 70-story towers for $20, $30 million an apartment. They call them see-throughs, okay? Because you look right through, there's nobody in there. There's no lights on. Like along 57th Street, you know, there's all the, what they call the pencil towers. They're just straight-up buildings, and they're pretty much all empty. And the prices are going down. They used to be bought by the Russian oligarchs and the Chinese oligarchs and the Malaysian oligarchs. Not anymore. So there's a massive move. People moved out of New York City in March and April, okay, when it was just beginning to hit. They didn't wait to see it destroy the city. They got out fast. They went to the Hamptons. They went to Florida. They went to Texas. They went to Tennessee. They went to low tax, low crime.
So how will those inner cities like that, you know, how will they reinvent themselves, or can they?
The people left behind are the poor ones who need tax revenue, and they're going to raise tax. It's going to be a negative cycle, a vicious cycle, where they raise taxes, driving out more people, creating more crime with fewer services. I would not want to be a big city mayor today. I don't know how they're going to do it. You'd have to be crazy to run for a mayor in a big city.
All right.
Because it's going to be...
I agree.
You can just
and
see
I
exactly
agree,
what's
going to
happen.
No, I think you're spot on. I agree. All right, we'll come back. Again, Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answer Man. If you have a question for Jordan, give us a call, 303-477-5600. Jordan, your website one more time?
Moneyanswers.com.
All right, we'll be right back. Frankton Firearms coming up next. And as far as I know right now, most gun dealers are really low on inventory. The background check time is up there. If you're wanting to know inventory levels, just call Franktown ahead of time or pop in, but you can still get something on order, still get that part handled. That's not a big deal. And you can get trained, by the way, which I always recommend. If you're new to that end of things, please get trained on the firearm. Don't just go buy one. Get trained on it at the same time. KLZradio.com, 720-770-7777.
You're shooting on the range at Franktown Firearms and something goes wrong with your gun. A jammed round. Maybe you're having trouble picking up your sights. So you walk on over to the gunsmithing department at the back of the store, and one of the gunsmiths on staff takes a look at your firearm. A few minutes later, you're back to firing on the range with a functional gun. Because they've earned the designation Stocking Dealer for Glock and Sig Sauer, as well as Master Dealer for Ruger and Smith & Wesson, Franktown Firearms has more guns in stock. Because they maintain good relationships with their suppliers, they consistently bring in ammo so it's available for you to practice on the range. If it's not in stock, rest assured more will be inbound soon. And as a shooting range with the full-service gunsmithing department on site, Franktown Firearms has the capacity to get your gun back faster. Sign up for a membership today at klzradio.com/franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free.
Golden Eagle Financial, we've been talking a lot about finances with Jordan Goodman, and Al's a financial advisor. If you need help and it's just something where you want to, you know, Jordan's mom did it herself, I get that. A lot of you don't have that ability. If you don't, give Al a call today. Find him at klzradio.com or 303-744-1128.
Your retirement plan doesn't need to be complicated. Al Smith doesn't use fancy software to create 20-page reports full of charts and graphs. Instead, he meets you with his 15 years of experience, a calculator, and some basic information about the money you've already saved. He wants you to walk away from that first meeting feeling confident instead of confused. At Golden Eagle Financial, Al believes your foundational retirement plan should be simple. Look at how much money you have now, estimate how much your investments are likely to grow over the next few years, and decide how you want to pull that money out so it lasts as long as you need it to. Then, once you have your fundamental retirement plan in place, Al will talk to you about planning ahead for unforeseen events. Schedule a free consultation with Golden Eagle Financial now and take the mystery out of retirement planning. KLZradio.com/money. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Rather than struggling, you can expand your business with John Rush as your personal business coach. No matter what business you're in, it's always a mistake to wait, hold off, and see what happens. Now is the time to move forward. Two of John's clients are expanding right now, moving into new industries because they see an opportunity. John believes that as long as you fill a need, there's no reason not to grow. Send an email to John at rushtoreason.com and run your ideas by him today.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Sharon says, love this company. They have gone above and beyond to respond to our copier and service needs for the past 10 years. If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or need service on equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, Jordan Goodman, America's Money Answer Man. And we were just talking a moment ago, Jordan, investments and, you know, just inflation and where we're headed and oil and all those different things. What else do you see coming down the pike that folks listening should be aware of?
Well, obviously, technology is changing everything dramatically. So you want to get the companies that are going to be driving the technological change instead of being the victims of it. A good example would be Amazon. I mean, they have artificial intelligence. They sell everything. They're doing delivery. They actually have Amazon Web Services, which supports many, many other companies. So that's an example of a winner in the technology space compared to, say, local retail stores that are getting hurt by Amazon's massive power to get good prices and delivery. That's just a classic example of a winner and loser of technology.
Where do you see the strip malls or, you know, even the big shopping malls headed?
There's basically three levels. There's A, B, and C. The A are the big ones, the kind of well-known ones. They'll do okay because people do want to shop. The B levels are going to be kind of troubled but survive and maybe have to transform themselves. And the C malls are going to disappear. That's already been happening to some extent. We're not going to be ever building a new mall in America again, but I think they're going to be transformed. Amazon is taking out old stores that used to be like a Kmart or Sears and making it into a distribution center. This is the world we're in today.
Right. And by the way, that was going to happen, I think, regardless of even COVID. That was coming no matter what.
Well, COVID has just sped up all the trends that were happening before.
And escalated it.
Shopping online is certainly one of them. So, I mean, that's retail is getting hurt. A big part is commercial real estate in the office sector is really going to be hurt because people are finding they can work from home just as productively, in fact, more productively. They don't have to commute as much, and the employers save money. And I think when a lot of leases come up, they're not going to renew them, or they renew them for far, far less space. So commercial real estate is going to get hurt. And the same thing is true of hotels.
Make sure we're careful on that. Make sure we say that correctly. Certain commercial real estate will get hurt, right?
Right.
Because you know the Amazon, the warehouse, the light industrial, the job shops, the machine shops.
Better.
Those guys will be fine.
That's right. And I'll just give you an example. Real estate investment trusts own commercial real estate. Some of them are going to get hurt, like the shopping malls, and some are booming. Like there's one called Digital Realty Trust, for example, that leases to computer server farms, basically. And all the computers and the servers that feed Google and Facebook and Microsoft are in these, sometimes in remote places, these massive, massive computer. So Digital Realty Trust, that's what they do. And that's going to do really, really well because there's going to be more and more demand for that computer server power. So you just can't say all of real estate is going to do well or badly.
Right. No, it's going to be a mixture. Right.
But I think office building is going to be troubled.
I agree. Yep. I think you're right. And I think even some other type of commercial real estate will be the same way. And you know, the other thing too, Jordan, this is another question, not that there's a lot of it collectively, but you know, they're kind of spread out like polka dots all around, and that's, you know, restaurants. I mean, some of the restaurants that haven't made it, you know, is another restaurant going to go back in once things are back to normal, or will something else happen?
Not for a long time. It's a major investment. It takes years to get a successful restaurant going, and there's been literally thousands of restaurants. I think it's over 100,000 that have closed in the last year or so. They just couldn't keep going. Even if they were able to open and operate at 25 or 50% capacity, the numbers still don't work.
No, they don't.
You're going to have a full restaurant.
That's right.
It's not full all the time. It's full at nights and weekends and so on.
That's right.
So when it's open, it's got to be 100%. It's not. I think that's one of the most unfortunate losses from COVID is the restaurant industry. In New York, fine dining is gone. Okay, there's all the business lunches and fancy French restaurants. They're trying to survive on takeout. I mean, I saw a story recently.
They can't.
They will go to your home and set up a fine meal for. They'll bring a tablecloth and silver and champagne flutes and serve it to you in your home. You know, it's just not the same experience. But fine dining has really been hurt very, very badly by this. So that's a major, major loss to this country is the restaurant business.
Yep. No, and by the way, I think everything you just said is spot on. And the question will be if and when. I do think as time goes by, it will come back. But I think it's going to take – it'll be years, I think, Jordan.
People have to invest in it and see that there's going to be a return. Now, people want to go eat out. I mean, there's certainly demand for restaurants. Mm-hmm. But it's a major capital investment, and a lot of them never make it in good times, never mind bad times.
That's right. Yeah, no, so well said.
You're going to have a new generation of restaurateurs. Yep. I mean, the big chains are doing fine. You know, Applebee's and McDonald's and Starbucks and, you know, all those are they've got the capital to survive. But it's the independent small restaurants that are having such a hard time around the country. It's a real shame.
Yeah, but you know, Jordan, going forward, a lot of the people who wanted to open a restaurant, start a restaurant, especially like you're saying, fine dining, one of the problems they ran into was there was such competition. Now the market's been cleared.
True. That's true.
Does that open the way for these forward-thinking people to
great
put something new in?
Well, yes, it does, because there is less competition, but they've got to have the capital to do it. But yes, I mean, it's almost like a, a Darwinian culling, you know, where you all the restaurants who might, they were great restaurants, but they didn't have the financial power to survive, to make it through not having customers for a year or something like that. But starting fresh, but you got to have capital behind you and a real commitment to make it work. But yeah, there's going to be lots of restaurant locations open with kitchens already in there for new ideas to come in.
Nope. Great question, by the way. I agree with you guys on that. I think the biggest obstacle will be that unknown of if another COVID-type thing comes along, what do you do with your business in that case?
Right. And I think that's going to happen. I do not think this is the last pandemic we're going to have. I mean, already there's this tremendous variant. I guess it came from Europe, which is getting quite widespread in America, which is a whole different one than one before. It's much more communicable. It's not more deadly, but you can spread it more easily.
Right.
And we could get a whole nother wave. I mean, all the people on Biden's COVID response committee, they're saying if it's a baseball game, we're maybe in the bottom of the third inning, something like that. You know, we got a long way to go with the slow pace of vaccinations. And with this new variant coming, I think we're going to get a national mask mandate from Biden. He's talking about inoculating 100 million people in the first 100 days. I don't think that's going to happen, but it would be nice if it could. I mean, we've gotten 12 million so far. We've been vaccinated.
I'm not sure there's 100 million people that want it.
I think there's 100 million people that want it.
A third? Yes. A third of the U.S.? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, they don't want to die.
But there's folks like myself where, you know, frankly, Jordan, I'm not a big vaccine guy. I'm not going to take it. I don't need it. I've gone this long without it. I mean, honestly, I don't know how many times I've been exposed up to this point, but I can tell you a ton. I mean, I've traveled all around literally in and out of the country. And I've worked every single day since it started. I mean,
do you wear a mask?
Only when I have to.
Yeah. Well, I hope you don't get it.
Only when I have to.
I got it, and it was not fun, I'll tell you.
No, well, and that also varies from individual to individual as well.
People don't want to die, but obviously, it's not like everybody who doesn't get the vaccine is going to die. This thing kills at less than 1%, well under 1%, about a third of 1%.
Right.
And so, however, I do believe that it's more than 100 million that would want the vaccine.
If we're throwing kids in, then yes, but adults only, I don't know.
And by the way, vaccinating children is ludicrous. This thing, I mean, the percentage, here's the thing. I don't understand why anybody under the age of 25 is wearing a mask or being vaccinated. I'm sorry. I'm just a numbers guy. I'm just looking at the numbers of
people
the threat
die,
level.
People die who are not as many.
Oh,
people
gosh,
die
Jordan, it is.
It's minuscule.
It is infinitesimal. And by the way, those people you can generally, pick out and say, okay, hey, they have severe immunity issues in ways.
But regardless,
and certainly I'd want
and
them
even
protect-
Andy, you and I have said this, Jordan, I'm a guy and Andy agrees with me on this. I don't, frankly care if the vaccine's a placebo. If it gets people out spending money in the economy
and
they feel safe, that's all I care about at the end of the day.
Yeah, if it makes them happy and opens their wallets.
That's where I'm at as a business guy.
Whatever
people
works.
People want to spend. I mean, it's like a coiled spring right now. People have not been spending for a long time, and they want to go out and do
what is there, about $2 trillion sitting on the sidelines of money you just talked about?
The savings rate has soared because people haven't been able to spend money or, you know, They're not going to restaurants. They're not going on trips. They're not going on cruises. They're not going to hotels and rental cars and all the things they normally do. And that money's been stored up and being saved. That's correct. The $600 that everybody just got, a lot of it is being saved. It's not being spent.
No, it's not being spent. I think also there's a lot of pent-up demand. And another way you can see that is I was looking at a graph of the states where people are moving from and to because of COVID restrictions. People clearly want fewer COVID restrictions.
They want to spend money.
It's overwhelming. Yeah. I mean, they're moving hardcore from the heavy restriction states, hardcore to the light restriction states. It's just an obvious flow. The only exceptions are when you've got a state that has fairly heavy restrictions, but they're right next to a super heavy restriction like California. And then you'll have some people move to Oregon or Arizona.
But then you've even got Musk moving from California to Texas because of the same reason.
Yeah. Right. That tells me is that's the market. We're talking about the market. The market wants lighter restrictions. I think they're going to get them soon. They need to, and they want to spend.
I agree with that. I think you're right. Okay, Jordan, hang tight. We'll come right back.
Alrighty.
Michael Bailey, Law, Mobile Estate Planning is coming up next. We talked earlier about having that estate plan in order, and Jordan mentioned that. Michael Bailey's your guy. He can do that for you. Again, give Michael a call today. Find him at klzradio.com or 720-394-6887.
Michael Bailey removes your fear of the unknown by helping you plan ahead for unexpected scenarios. Most people have already given up their resolutions by now, but not Michael Bailey. He lives by the adage, "Those who prepare shall not fear." KLZ's mobile estate planner recently got a frantic phone call from a family whose mother had been given only 2 to 4 weeks to live. Their father had begun to lose some of his mental acuity, and they needed help now. They held a Zoom meeting with Michael Bailey on a Friday. He drew up their parents' estate plan on Saturday, and by Monday, their mother had been moved into hospice care. Without Michael's last-minute help, this family would have spent months, if not years, battling in probate court because their mother's assets would have gone to the wrong people. You don't know what the future holds, but you can prepare for uncertainty. Set up a free consultation with KLZ's mobile estate planner now at klzradio.com/estate.
Purify Chevrolet's next, folks. If you're looking for a new or used car or truck, we got the place to go. That's Purify Chevrolet in Fort Lupton. Not much of a drive was there yesterday. It's an easy trip out there, by the way. 303-659-8311 or find them at purifychevrolet.com.
You know, when I go into Purifoy Chevrolet, they don't give you that feel like they're there to take your money or they only care about the sale. They really, truly seem to care about me, and that means a lot to me. I've had the privilege of going into Purifoy Chevrolet to see Rolly's office. And when you see Rolly Purifoy and his family, and especially his father, because his dad was so involved in this business, you really get a sense of what it means for it to be a family. Then when you see customers come in, you also realize that they treat their customers the same way they would their family members. It was very clear that the customers come back again and again and again. There's kind of this real family feel of they want you to come in, be so pleased that you'll continue to come in and have a pleasant experience and people that treat you like family, and you can't get better than that. So that really has stuck with me, and I think that's really something unique about Purifoy Chevrolet that means you should go there.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purifoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Hi, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes. Okay, Jordan Goodman with us as well, America's Money Answer Man. Jordan, you just heard the commercial that we did for our local dealership here. Where do you see the auto industry headed?
Well, electric vehicles is the way things are going. That's the big seller. Of course, Tesla is doing extremely well. All the major car companies are coming out with electric cars of various types. And that's they're efficient, and you don't have to get gas, and I think that's the big moving in area in the car business. Car business is doing quite well. They actually had to shut down for a few months, and they've actually had shortages, particularly of computer chips and other things.
Yep,
to get
the chips
back
are killing them right now.
Yep. So there's a
shortage. Lotfuls of F-150s kicking around because of that.
Exactly. And the used car market is on fire.
I mean, it is.
Just prices are going up. It's almost like the suburban real estate market.
That's right.
The used car market now.
It is. No, well said. Do you see that lasting, or do you think that's going to slow down at some point?
Well, eventually car companies will catch up. But no, I think it's going to last for quite a while.
You and I are in agreement because they're behind right now, really. But you go look around. I don't know what it's like where you guys are, but here in Colorado, you go look at most dealership lots around that normally you would see jam-packed and no place to even park, and they're a wasteland. There's no inventory.
Yep. So that can be fixed, but over time. But again, if people are going to be moving to the suburbs instead of being in the cities, they're going to use cars more.
Right. I agree.
There's going to be more need for cars, including the big cars, the trucks and the vans and the crossovers and all these things. I think you're going to have people going to the suburbs to have families.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so let's go back. I know we already talked about this briefly, but Andy's family's in the oil end of things a little bit. I am, of course, with the car end of things that I do and in my fleet and so on. So I watch oil and gas prices on a pretty routine basis. Where do you see oil headed?
In the 50 to 60 range. I don't think it's going to go too much more than that. I mean, OPEC's been amazingly controlling. I mean, normally they don't have that much control over their people, but in this case they have. And so they've kept the supply pretty tight. Now, demand is way down. Obviously, people are driving less, they're flying less, they're cruising less and all that. But when demand, I think the oil market, which was in the 30s, is now in the 50s, is anticipating increase in demand for oil when the economy snaps back. It's a very sensitive indicator. But I don't see it going to 100 or something like that, because if oil prices start going up much more, you're going to see supply coming back on pretty quickly.
I agree. We've got the ability to turn that spigot on if you would. And again, I know the XL pipeline is a big deal. I don't want to get into the politics of that. I've got my own opinions of that. But we did fine, even supply wise prior to that. It just keeps the cost down. I mean, you can either freight rail it down here, or you can run it down in a pipeline. But really, at the end of the day, is that a huge factor in the price of oil?
Well,
it's a sliver.
It helps to have it be more secure like that.
Right.
I mean, Biden and his administration are anti-fossil fuels. There's
correct.
No question about it.
Yep.
And that's going to be expressed in many ways. I think they'll take all federal lands out of leasing. We won't be able to lease federal lands to drill anymore. I think they're going to increase environmental regulations dramatically on the industry, which have been loosened to some extent, which will make it more costly to produce oil.
Yep.
It's going to be very hard to build refineries that we need. They're going to be very anti-oil. And you've got John Kerry, the climate change czar, I guess we could call him.
Right.
He's going to be on every meeting, and that's going to be an influence in stopping fossil fuels. I mean, there is an environmental reason for that. It does pollute the air. But we do. I still don't know how you fly a plane.
You don't.
With solar energy or something.
You don't. I mean, the reality is what a lot of these folks don't understand is even the very chair they're sitting on. You just said you'll be at the meeting sitting in a chair. The very chair he's sitting on took plastic and oil to make.
That's right.
Which everybody
so it's
forgets.
Not only gasoline. That's right. So
I mean, it's not just gas. Yeah, there's a lot.
There's a lot that goes into it.
We
do need it. In the long run, I think we will have more renewable energy. We'll have more solar. We'll have more biomass. Water can be very good, hydropower and so on. But there are certain things oil does that I don't think you can replace.
That's right. All right, Craig's joining us now. Craig, you're on with Jordan Goodman. Welcome.
Hi, John.
Hi, Craig.
Jordan.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hello?
Yep, you're good, Craig. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Craig.
Do I have you?
Yes,
okay,
we're here.
Yes, you do. Go ahead.
With the Biden administration, I know they're going to go toward this kind of Green New Deal format and really push, the renewable energy things, wind and solar and stuff, and in my book, demonize oil and gas. What's that going to do for most of us as far as, heating our homes and the cost of our electricity?
Well, it's going to go up.
Because
the cost of oil will go up as we have less supply, and I said we'll be less energy independent. One of the amazing things the last 4 years is we have been completely energy independent now because we're producing so much here. On the margin, I think a lot of American companies will not be able to drill, will not be cost effective, and all the new regulations with environmental and they're just not going to do it.
Right.
So we're going to produce less oil, which will make us more dependent on wonderful places like Venezuela and Nigeria and all kinds of unstable places.
And Craig, to answer your question, I think a lot of it will be also geographically in the United States. Some folks rely on heating oil. That's kind of where the Jordan, where you're at, you're a lot
of Northeast
heating
more,
oil. Right. You know, us here, Craig, we're natural gas. I'm not making a bold prediction here, but I would say that places like the East Coast with heating oil will be hit harder than we are here with natural gas. That's just my opinion.
Natural gas is still very, very cheap compared to oil. And we produce a lot of it. We have too much of it. In fact, that's why they flare natural gas, because they can't use it. So that's a very cheap, clean fuel, relatively clean fuel.
And we're blessed here in Colorado to have that, but Craig, not all of the U.S. has that.
Yeah.
Well,
so I think you move that.
They're going to say that it's going to create a lot of new green technology jobs, and yet I know there have been quite a few under the Obama administration. Some of these solar and wind power technology companies have gone out of business.
Correct.
Like Solyndra. Solyndra was the big one.
You can create a job in anything if you throw millions of dollars at it. I can pay somebody to sit in the middle of a street and give them $1 million and say I created a job. The problem is the cost per the amount of energy produced.
That's right. Well said.
I think it was about $500,000 per job at Solyndra. I think it was huge.
Great call, by the way. We've got to get things wrapped up here with Jordan, and by the way, and I do think that I'm correct on what I said a moment ago. That factor in energy is going to depend upon which, by the way, hasn't really been that way in the past. It has a little bit, but let's face it, it's really going to be geographically hit when it comes to the expense side of that now.
Well, it is, and there's a lot of states, Colorado being one of them, that is a major oil producer. North Dakota, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Texas, Alaska. Can you imagine what this is going to do to Alaska, right? Where that's pretty much their main source of revenue. If you stop leasing, for example, ANWR, which Trump opened up, has not been drilled on, and they'll probably take that off. So the energy-dependent states are really going to get hurt by this, by environmental and other restrictions.
Correct. Well said. Jordan, as always, I enjoy having you. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you next month, sir.
Very good. Thank you, John. Thank you, Andy.
All right. American National Insurance is up next. Paul Leuenberger, my insurance agent, would love to help you with your real estate, your car, whatever it happens to be. Make sure that you're properly insured, and do that today if you would, especially as we head down the path we talked about here the last hour. 303-662-0789. That's Paul Leuenberger, 303-662-0789.
Your home insurance should include the stuff inside your house, too. The personal insurance agent of John Rush, Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance, remains one of very few agents who will sit down with you and ask specific, detailed questions, making sure that in a disaster, you will be made financially whole. After a fire, you won't only need a new place to live, you'll also need to replace your gun collection and your jewelry. In those situations, you don't want to work with an agent you found online. You want to talk to someone who knows you, someone who will take the initiative to call and see how you're doing. Even in less disastrous situations, such as accidentally dropping your wedding ring down the sink, the proper coverage with Paul will make you financially whole. Paul Leuenberger can't relieve the emotional loss of a family heirloom, but he will make sure that you can replace your possessions at their full financial value. Call 303-662-0789 for the coverage you expect.
All right, got about a minute left here. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560, myself, Andy, and Charlie. And, you know, folks, here's the bottom line. I know we talked for an hour with Jordan, and some of it seems dire. It is dire. You look at the debt that we'll incur as a country, we already are incurring as a country. You look at some of the, you know, tax plans and the energy policy, the trade policy, some of those things that are going to be coming down the pike. You know, what I'm going to tell you all is, you know, some of what Jordan just said, figure out where you need to be invested in, figure out what you need to do, figure out how you can turn a dollar in all of this and come out on the other end in a better shape than you are now. But you know what? That won't happen by just taking things lightly and not doing anything. If you just sit around waiting for it to happen, it won't. It'll happen to you, not for you.
Yeah, and it's going to happen, folks.
It's going to happen.
But we got to keep in mind, here's the bottom line, John. All those states where people are fleeing, the entire country is now going to be run like those states.
That's right.
And to simply complain at home and die, well, you know what? You're going to have to find a way to adapt
and
adjust.
That's right.
But that doesn't mean it's not a bad thing. It is.
No, and that's what we're going to do here at Rush to Reason. We will be here for you during not only the transition in this early part of the 2021 year, but we'll be here after the fact because, folks, you're going to have to figure out how to work around this and still come out on the other end. And is that doable? Yes, but you have to have a plan, and you have to work that plan and do it. You can't just sit around and expect your 40-hour-a-week job, in some cases, to be enough. Some of you need to do more than that, especially if your job is a job that's at risk. And some will be.
Yes. Some jobs are going to be very much at risk. You know, one thing people need to do is start targeting those industries that are benefiting from this. And, you know, here's another thing, by the way, John. Conservatives need to open up branches and elements of those industries that are thriving.
Well said, Andy.
Because
yes.
Talk about a market. What about the conservative market wanting to spend money in those
well
places?
Well said. Well said. All right, we'll be right back. Hour number two is next. Don't go anywhere. Bruce Baker is going to join us, by the way. You want to talk about what's going on in Westminster as soon as we come back. So hour two is next. Myself, Andy, and Charlie, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.